Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Wake up. It's time to go. Zach Amico's got a show. Animals are here to play. Jokes and guests to start your day. Tell the Sandman no more sleep. Eat some eggs and cook some beef. Laughter's waiting. Don't be shy. Stretch your legs and touch the sky. Grab a coffee and join the crew. It's Zach Amico.
Well, good morning. It's another wacky Wednesday here in New York City. It's me, your other boy, the international superstar, Zach Amico, and this is the Morning Zoo coming to you live from the Gas Digital Studios. It's going to be a great day. I've got two great guests and a bunch of silly shit to talk about. From the Medium Popcorn Podcast, it's our great friend Brandon Collins. How you doing, dog?
I'm good. I got to hear that sultry saxophone.
$80
blasting through, man. I love a good saxophone.
$80 online.
That theme song was $80.
The saxophone solo.
Oh, God.
The theme song was free. That is my great friend John Brennan of John Brennan and the Big Feet.
Oh, wow.
He also did the theme song for Joe Bob at the Drive-In on Shudder.
That's awesome.
Okay.
He's their former musical director. Now he does Rhonda Shear's Up All Night.
I thought you were gonna break down how much the theme song was by
no, he did the rest. We wanted a saxophone solo, and I forgive me, I can't remember the name of the site.
Yeah,
but he literally just put up like him humming it.
Oh,
and it was a rush order. It would have been 50, but we needed it in like 12 hours.
Okay,
and yeah, fucking
the gas digital way.
Yeah, and we got it, and the person was very talented. Thank you.
That's great.
That voice you hear is our friend Danny Brath. How you doing, dog?
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys very much for being here. I appreciate your time. Let's knock plugs out of the way. Danny, what do you want people to check out?
I'm going to be headlining in Philly at Claude's Comedy Club September 10th, and then I'm going to be in Syracuse, New York, October 3rd, Salem, Massachusetts, October 8th and 10th, and Portsmouth, New Hampshire, October 9th.
Very, very cool.
And follow me on Instagram at Danny Brath.
Please do, Mr. Collins.
Yeah, I'm going to be hosting Comedians Interview Experts at Caveat in New York City on September 6th. Then I'll be doing a bunch of Drunk Black History Tour dates starting in Philly on September 20th at the Punchline Philly. They're going to be in D.C., New Orleans, Orlando, Little Rock now, and of course, New York Comedy Festival. So drunkblackhistory.com for those tickets. You can also follow me personally at Frodo_Blackins on Instagram and Threads, FrodoBlackins.com.
Fantastic. Follow me on Instagram at Zach Is Not Funny. And hey, if you haven't yet, please check out my new half an hour special, Gas Digital Presents 30 Minutes with Zach Amico. We are creeping up on 100K. I believe as of this morning, we're at 98,000. So if you could check it out or even just give it another couple views, I'd appreciate it. For everyone that's been so kind and watched it so far, sincerely thank you. If you're watching the show right now and you want to support us, you can go to gasdigital.com and use my promo code ZOO. You save a little bit of money. You get your episodes early, ad-free, and uncensored. You get to watch them live with the live chat, and you get the access to the archives, thousands of episodes of all your favorite gas shows from over the last decade, as well as you get our Friday bonus episode. We do three of these a week, and usually Friday is the silly one where we watch a bunch of videos that I can't put up on YouTube. And hey, subscribe or not, thank you so much for consuming the show however you do. I really appreciate you. Well, boys,
that music is traumatizing, by the way.
Thank you.
It's very triggering. Reminds me of all the games I couldn't beat as a kid.
Yes.
That music was $125.
That was, I think that's, is that Anamanaguchi that did that, or is that just stock video game music?
I think it's the latter.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Shannon's like, I can't pronounce Anamanaguchi.
They were the band that did The Nerdist and shit.
Oh, okay.
Before everybody abandoned Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
But he gets, when all of his friends were like, that's not our boy.
I always forget what he got. He got trouble for...
I don't even remember what he did, but I remember he did something.
It's just that, it's one of those like...
It was like during the Me Too like height of that stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it sounded like he was just a real dick.
Is it like similar to the Aziz thing where it was like just a...
I think he was married and like...
He was doing some side stuff?
No, he like... demanded, like, he, like, had, like, scheduled sex, or, like, and he was like, you can just lay there. I think he called it starfishing.
Oh, wow.
But it just sounded like he
was also
kind
a comedian,
of,
too. So
sounded like he was kind of a mean guy.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, no shit. He's a fucking, he's got 80 million projects. He's probably a sociopath.
Yeah.
Or at least a complete narcissist.
Oh, yeah, for
but
sure.
But, man, his boys left him in the dust. Everybody fucking washed their hands of him quick.
Yeah. That's
and then none of them fucking lasted. And he's back.
Is he back?
Yeah, he's always hosting shit.
Really? I feel like I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he shows up all the time. He's got a bunch of he's game shows and shit.
Okay, got it.
Oh, good for
I didn't even think he was that great of an interviewer, to be honest with you. But like, he was one of the first ones to do it in that space. So that's interesting to hear that he's back. But like,
I think that was more his. He was always a very. That's what he started as. He was on Singled Out.
I always loved like At Midnight and whatnot. It was fun to just play along as a joke writing exercise.
I liked it too, just to get the reps in.
Yeah.
He was. I went with Mike Lawrence once to a taping, and Chris Hardwick was the skinniest person I've ever. He looked like a skeleton in a suit.
Really.
It was crazy how thin. It was like alarming how tiny he was. It reminded me of when I went to the David Bowie Museum and you saw David Bowie's outfits. And you're like, oh, there was nothing to him.
Oh, yeah. Like it's like when I saw the Batman exhibit when I was in South by Southwest, they showed Zoe Kravitz as like Catwoman. I didn't know how small she was. And two, yeah, she was like bone thin. It was crazy how small that costume was.
And in all fairness, Bowie was on a diet of milk, red peppers, and cocaine for years. So
that's the trick.
The anti-diet, me, I got an embarrassing fat guy procedure done yesterday.
Okay.
I got my skin tags removed off my neck.
Oh, wow.
I had to go to the dermatologist a few weeks ago, and they wanted me to get checked for skin cancer. Benign.
Okay.
Don't got it. And they said, hey, we can take care of these if you want. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'm like, it's going to hurt a little. I figured. They just cut them off.
Yeah.
With small scissors.
Like you can do it at home?
No. They gave me 7 shots before.
Hey, like they gave you something.
Do they know that you don't need it?
What?
You don't need that. You get people stapling you.
I needed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they gave me 7 numbing shots. And even with that, because I didn't know they cauterize them.
What does that mean?
They burn them closed. Oh. So it was like a little pair of razor scissors. I would say I felt half of them. But when I felt it, I felt it.
Yeah.
And then he had like an assistant, and it was like a little electric coil. And she burned them closed. That was the the first one she
did. Was it worse than a tattoo? Like the spots you can get?
It was alarming.
Okay.
Because the first one hurt, and I went, fuck! And he looked at the girl and he goes, what do you have the machine on? And she goes, 8. He goes, Jesus, put it at 6.
Yeah.
Because you could smell like burning. I did the Bugs Bunny. I was like, what's cooking?
Yeah.
But it was weird.
Yeah.
But I feel better. And I got to tell you, glad I did it. Shout out to the good people of dermatology at Mount Sinai. Very, very nice place.
Mount Sinai is a great spot, man. Like I had to do a lung biopsy. They took care of me. They put me up in like the nicest hospital room. I didn't even know they made stuff like that. Like huge big screen TV.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was able to order me like 2 full meals and shit.
It was very nice.
It was awesome.
I used to go to a magic club at Mount Sinai Hospital.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I did magic. And we had our monthly meetings in a conference room.
Tricks.
Yeah.
Okay, not the card game.
Not the card game. And we had our monthly meetings at a conference room at Mount Sinai Hospital.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, and would you like try out your tricks with the patients sometimes?
No. Oh, well, they had like this the children's hospital.
Yeah.
And we would do they had like a closed circuit TV thing that would just go out to the kids in their rooms. So we would do a show once a year for kids wouldn't come and watch it live, but it would be broadcast into their rooms.
Oh, that's cute.
That's fun.
Because I was like, how's that relationship work? Yeah. Like, what's the like payoff for like magicians meeting at this hospital, but they get free entertainment for the kids at one point. So.
But very, very nice. And then I will say, I've been to the doctor a few times in the last few weeks, and God, I love a nice black receptionist.
A nice one.
I had mean ones the other day, but there's either the honey child, the real nice, welcoming, or what I refer to as Don Cheadle on a better rice, where it'll be like four Jamaican ladies who are just having fun. I got it from 30 Rock. When she goes to the dentist.
Yeah.
And she goes, "What do you want for lunch? Don't cheat it on a bit of ice." And man, they're so nice. And they all want to see my tattoos. They're a blast.
Okay.
I love my ladies. Like,
it's all to distract you from the fact that you're waiting 2 hours to see your doctor.
Dude, I went right in.
Oh, you motherfucker.
I've been having
a nightmare with my doctors lately. Just like, I'm like waiting like almost an hour. I'm like, guys, like if I were late, you would be like, you would charge my insurance and then be like, you got to reschedule. And I'm like, come on, they're not even like that good. Like, because doctors are just like us. They just know medical shit.
It's a lot more money.
It is a lot more money.
A lot more.
Well, unless you have a drug problem.
Yeah.
Unless you have some demons. It's because doctors, they can go through money real quick. I've learned.
I haven't been to a doctor in like 10 years. I'm sure I have a lot wrong with me. I just am scared. I have really bad doctor anxiety.
I sweat through my clothes. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I freak out. Yeah, I was, even yesterday, and everyone was nice. I was dripping.
You like, but the whole thing, like the form gives me anxiety. Like even before I even see the doctor, the whole thing stinks.
See, I've been like in hospitals like, all my life because like I had like this, I found out later it was a genetic disorder, but I had like a bunch of breathing issues. So I was constantly going like to my lungs checked and like doing sinus surgeries and shit. So, you know, at a certain point, I just like.
It's par for the course.
Yeah, I just got used to it. You know what I mean? Especially it's like needles. Like, I used to hate needles, and I had so many surgeries at one point. I was like, okay, this is easy.
Some of the numbing needles yesterday were pretty big, and they go right in your neck.
You ever have ingrown toenails?
No, I have not.
Oh, yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, so they would put numbing needles shit in your toes, and that was the most painful because they're putting so much numbing liquid into such a small area. The pressure was fucking stunk.
I remember when I got my COVID shot, it was the first time I got a shot where I'm like, I feel like...
Yeah, that one hurt.
That one hurt, and it felt like I felt the liquid going in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I felt the expansion.
Yeah, I hadn't remember a shot hurting that much since, like, when I was a kid and I got the booster shot or some shit. Like, that was... I remember that being pretty memorable.
But I would say nothing as bad as getting an IV, but yesterday was pretty painful. The cauterizing really shook me.
Yeah. I think you'll appreciate this because you're a movie buff like me. So when I had my lung biopsy, I was so hopped up on drugs and stuff. And they were like moving me to like my hospital room. And I told the doctor, I was like, you got to pump up the volume on this thing. I'm a football player. And I was hitting the machine. And my wife is like, the nurse asked my wife, she's like, does he really think he's a football player? Because if he's hallucinating, we got a problem. She's like, I think he's just quoting a movie. And I was quoting Any Given Sunday. Because I was like, but Dennis Quaid like hits the machine. He's like, I'm a football player. I was like, that was hilarious. So I finally got to do it in real life.
When I got my ankle surgery years ago, they did, you know, the countdown from 100 thing. And I think I got to 98. Like, I didn't even get to 97. And then I was singing Funky Town. Because the machine, for some reason, sounded like...
Were they playing music, though?
No.
Oh, okay, because sometimes they play music, and so you go to sleep with a fucking soundtrack.
No, I was singing Funky Town on the table. All right, we got a bunch of dumb shit.
You thought you were Shrek?
Yeah. I got a bunch of dumb shit to look at, but I was having some late night Twitter arguments last night over this lady that got shot in Times Square.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't believe how many people responded with, like, they should have subdued her.
No, in Times Square, man, that all bets are off. When you're stabbing people, like, as soon as I saw that story, like, that makes sense. I didn't read the full detail, like, but if someone's going around Times Square stabbing people, right?
Yeah.
That's basically the thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you come from, who you are, you're getting shot. Like, they're taking you out like RoboCop.
Now, I will say, when I used to sell tickets in Times Square, they do send the dumbest cops to Times. We call them, like, Keystone Cops.
Okay.
If you ever see a cop take a selfie in Times Square to, like, definitely send to some bitch.
Yeah.
You're like, this is a dumb cop.
I'd rather the Mickey Mouse's be cops.
Well, they definitely had no. They, if they needed to stab her back, they probably could have went to Mickey or Minnie.
They're ready. They're ready for something.
Someone told me, and I feel like this isn't true. I never fact checked it, but someone said like in Times Square, 1/10, or I just made up that number, but like some extremely high number of people are cops. Like just a lot of fucking...
There's a shitload of cops, and I'm sure there's a lot we don't know are cops.
Yeah, a lot. Like they're saying like the under just a lot of people.
I used to work in Times Square. I mean, but that was a long time ago, so it's possible, like, definitely because of, like, terrorism and stuff like that, like, that stuff is ramped up with undercover cops. But there wasn't much of a cop presence when I would, like, be barking and stuff for the restaurant.
I would say there was a lot. There was, we would take bets on how long it would take people to get arrested if we saw them really acting up. Do you remember when you barked? Was Free Hugs out?
Free Hugs. What's
he was a special needs kid, and he would go, Free Hugs.
Oh,
and he
had a sign. No, because that's more central. I was barking outside the restaurant.
So I was like in the shit. And Free Hugs would be out all the time.
Oh, no.
But Free Hugs didn't like to let go of the hug. And it was a lot of bottom half of the hug, if you know what I mean. And one day, One Direction was at the MTV building, and there was just a line of like 12-year-old girls.
Oh, no.
And we saw Free Hugs fucking light up, and we were like, 20 minutes. Dude, he didn't make it 10. He didn't make it 10. He was in cuffs screaming, and with some dad going, he rubbed his genitals on my daughter.
If you ever get to do like a sketch college, you gotta make that a sketch. That's because it's just like it's inevitable that this is gonna happen.
Yeah, we were just like, oh man, Free Hugs is going to jail today. Yeah,
waiting for the moment that Free Hugs finally goes down.
He used to mostly be in Union Square.
In this economy, he's now charging $10 for
hugs. Yes,
with inflation.
Anyway, so I'll give you the skinny on this broad. She was, I believe, 59. Her brothers come out and said she was bipolar. She did try and kill herself, I believe, in 2020 by trying to jump in front of a B train.
Oh, interesting, because my wife said it might have been a suicide by cop thing. What she hears, she's like, when I hear things like that, that's what I think of.
And, you know, I think that as well. I mean, there's a reason it's called that. And today her mother put out a statement saying the cops should have restrained her. But have you seen the video? Yeah, bring it up.
I haven't seen the video.
Apparently she got on a train, stabbed a dude, kept walking, killed a lady.
Mm.
Vice President of Bank of America, just had a kid.
Oh, Jesus.
Fucking horrible. But so this is the lady. Bit of a torta. She has two knives? Yeah, she has two knives. She's double wielding.
Yeah, this is... Are we about to see her get lit up?
So they're going to try and taser, but apparently if you are chubby, it doesn't hit the muscle, so it doesn't get you. And apparently one went in her and one went in her purse.
Got it.
Which is why the taser didn't work, is what something I read.
Is anyone trying to calm her down, though?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're talking to her. Oh, no. Yeah, they about to light her up. Yeah.
So she began with a whirlwind motion where she was spinning both knives.
Yeah.
And then she both put them in kind of like it was a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
She put both knives and just ran at him. I got to tell you, that's suicide by cop.
Yeah, that's
it's very unfortunate that a mentally ill person had a horrible thing. It's really unfortunate that a woman was fucking murdered.
Yeah.
And it's, by the way, probably not a great day for those fucking cops. Because people don't know, if you shoot somebody, they take you off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're now...
You have to go to counseling and stuff like that.
You got
to
go to counseling. Like, they're not having a good time either.
Yeah.
But the amount of people, they're like, why not tackle her? Why not try and grab the knives?
She's got two knives.
Well, it's also like, it's Times Square. That's why, like, when my wife said suicide by cop, I'm like, that kind of makes sense because it's a very public place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very few places in the world, I think, you could go to and start some shit and not expect to get lit up.
Yes.
It's just like facts. Like, if someone did this by the Eiffel Tower, they're going to get shot.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's just expected.
She wasn't doing this in front of her building.
Yeah. Like, if I'm outside the Sphere while people are waiting in line, I just start stabbing everybody. Mm-hmm. The cops are going to kill me.
I think it is to be expected. It can be unfortunate and justified at the same time.
Yeah.
And I saw a very good, I believe Lewis might have posted it, a very good analogy, which is trying to disarm someone with a knife is like trying to take somebody down with a wet paintbrush. Mm. And not get paint on you. Like, you're gonna... They tell you, I believe it's swarm a gun, run from a knife. If you're not a cop.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna get... Most defense for knife attacks is how to cover up arteries. not how to not get stabbed.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get fucked up.
Yeah.
And those were big fucking kitchen knives. She already killed a lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got to tell
There's
you,
There's a reason why slashers still work, like Mike Myers and Scream and stuff. Like, a knife is fucking terrifying.
And, you know, it's a high-pressure sitch, and it's very unfortunate, and it is sad. But, man, that's... If you run full speed... I did.
Oh, those were them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did see one article that really... Man, this fucking hurt my feelings. They referred to her, I believe, as... The waddling killer.
Oh, no.
They use the term waddling.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, even in death.
Yeah, I was going to go, even if she didn't die, then she would want to kill herself because you can't read that about yourself.
Yeah, the waddle. You don't want to be the waddling killer. That's not a legacy you want to leave behind.
The small dick robber.
That is so funny. The micro penis burglar.
Can't catch a break.
No, man. But yes, I think we get out. Shannon, I know you probably feel similarly, right?
Absolutely. I think like she was coming at them with like a lethal weapon and they used deadly force rightly, I think.
I think anyone that's like complaining, like I would want to know where all these people are from, like, because I think if you live in New York, you just understand. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's why, like, for me, it's like you said, it's unfortunate, but also justified at the same time. Whereas if I'm in bubblefuck America and I've never been to Times Square and I'm just seeing this, I'm like, and you know, I'm just a housewife at home. Like, oh, I have nothing else to be worried about. Then I'd be like, oh. Yeah.
People know there's a gajillion people walking around.
Yes.
I would hate to get shot because I'm so fat. No matter where you hit me, it's center mass. But you know, very sad that really we should be RIPing this poor woman.
Yes.
An unfortunate situation and we used to put crazy people. They I don't know how I feel about them getting rid of all the mental health care. Insane asylums in the 80s.
I mean, we still have them. They're just assisted living places.
Yeah. You know? I mean, Reagan closed a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I guess it depends on, like, who's managing them, who's owning them and stuff. That's where my hesitation would be. Just because, like, my grandfather's mom, like, she was in, like, a mental hospital for a long time. It's just basically she had epilepsy. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't know what that was or how to treat it at the time. And so, like, you know, but obviously that was decades ago.
There's a lot of problems with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of
people that shouldn't have been there and abuse and
definitely. Yeah. I mean that Geraldo thing, which we've talked about, they show it in the Cropsey documentary. Yeah. Somebody snuck a camera into one, and it was horrendous. The living situation was like third world, beyond like really.
Yeah, mate, Arkham Asylum looked like the fucking Hamptons.
Yeah, it was real dark. It was a sad sitch. But then it's like, well, they're just going to be out and about.
They are.
Yeah, they're out and about in New York.
It's like Grinch Night all the time.
Yeah. Port Authority, after a certain time.
I mean, that's Port Authority. That
is scary.
It's been like that since I came here in 2002.
Dude, Port Authority, after like 11 o'clock at night, looks like an open casting call for Tyler Perry's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It is the scariest fucking people. I remember I went on a date with a girl, and I was dropping her back off at the Port Authority.
Oh, no. She had to go to Jersey or something?
She had to go back to Jersey on a bus. And a guy just walked up to us covered in blood, his whole top of his head. And he just ran at us going, and I went, all right, have a good time, bye.
Oh, no.
I left it. We never went on another date.
I'm not surprised.
Have you been to Moynihan Train Hall? I would lick the floor there. That's like the nicest place in the world.
It is pretty nice.
It's so awesome.
Hey, guys, you ever wake up in the morning and just feel soft? Like your coffee's warming your hands, but not doing a damn thing for your balls or your brain? That's why our great friends created Body Brain Coffee. It's not just coffee. It's coffee with purpose, specifically testosterone. Packed with clinically backed ingredients like Tonkat Ali, this isn't your girlfriend's oat milk latte. This is for men who want to get their edge back in the gym, in the boardroom, and in the bedroom too. And it's not just about testosterone. Body Brain is also built to dial in your focus, clarity, and mood thanks to lion's mane, ashwagandha, and L-theanine. So while your basic brew is giving you the jitters and a crash, Body Brain Coffee is helping you stay sharp, calm, and locked in, all while supporting your natural tea levels. If you're serious about your energy, your mindset, and your masculinity, it starts with what you put in your cup. Body Brain Coffee has Tongkat Ali, Lion's Mane, Ashwagandha, L-theanine, and premium freeze-dried Colombian coffee. It's got a bold, rich taste with no fillers. Save 15% today with the code ZOO15, at bodybraincoffee.com. That's bodybraincoffee.com. Power your day. Fuel your drive. Let's get back into the show.
All right, so an unfortunate situation, but let's look at a positive thing. Staten Island man caught on ring cam getting struck by lightning.
Wow, that's great.
Jesus.
I'm gonna show you a little bit of a longer video, but it's part of like a news thing, but it's because they interview him after.
Oh, great.
Oh, he lived.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's why it's a positive thing.
Sorry, ruined it.
This is the moment a bolt of lightning strikes a man on New York Staten Island. Caught on camera. You can see the flash of light.
Oh,
then resident Thomas Fahmy drops to the ground in agony. Incredibly, he gets back up and walks away, taking shelter inside a resident's home.
Can I come in, please? Sure. Yes, please come. Oh my God.
This will be a rough time to find out he's a serial killer.
I'm sorry. Are you hit or not?
They say lightning doesn't strike twice.
I hope not.
Today, Fox hits again. Where it happened.
The first thing I first saw was just a white flash.
What did it feel like?
I felt like my feet, I was walking on balloons. It was really, really in pain. Numbing, tingling feeling down there. It was a sensation I had never felt ever in my life.
Pull out, dude.
Fahmy was treated for only minor injuries. His story of survival after other lightning strikes this summer ended in tragedy, with 13 fatalities recorded nationwide so far this year. On Saturday, Utah resident Steve Matheson was struck by a thunderbolt while jet skiing in Florida, killing the 41-year-old father of four, according to the local sheriff. That death, days after lightning in South Florida, killed 31-year-old Kenya Glasgow and one of her children.
Jeez.
Fahmy says he knows how lucky
he is
to be.
His name is Fahmy?
by the way, getting...
That's what I would say if I got struck by lightning. Fahmy!
By the way, getting struck by lightning is the only fun thing to do in Staten Island.
By the way, 13 sounds like a lot.
Yeah, man. I'm like, is the world coming for us?
Is lightning
coming for us?
Is lightning got a fucking agenda?
There's that Lightning Roy guy that got struck by lightning. How many times did he get? You know what I'm talking about? Roy Sullivan?
Oh, yeah. I feel like he was probably doing some very lightning-y shit, though.
Yeah, that's true.
He was probably hanging out.
Yeah, with keys around his neck and shit.
Yeah. But 13 sounds like a lot, because that's just fatalities.
Yeah. Oof.
You don't think about it.
Well, if I feel... I feel like if you get struck by lightning, you're dying. You're not like 13's not that much for just death. That's probably.
I feel like for lightning, like I haven't heard that.
It's literally called. It's like getting struck by lightning. Like,
yeah.
It's like when somebody wins the lottery, you're like, yeah, you're more likely to get struck by lightning.
Yeah, but more people than 12 people or 13 people win the lottery every year.
Yeah. I guess you're right. When I was a kid. My grandma would warn me about the dumbest shit. Like, it would always be, she didn't quite understand the thing she was warning me about. And she goes, Zachary, when it's raining out, don't listen to music. And I went.
Especially hip hop.
And I tried to process it. And I go, why? And she goes, because if you get hit by lightning, the electricity will go through the headphones and melt your brain. And I was like, where did you possibly get this?
Her brain.
And she said she read an article about someone.
Yeah.
And I was like, so on the chance that I get struck by light, if it's raining again, I should listen on the whatever, one in a bajillion chance. And that was my girl said, Zachary, you drink your drinks too cold. And I went, what? The way you put ice. You're going to make yourself sick. And I went, where'd you get that from? She goes, because sometimes if I drink a cold drink, I don't feel good.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the terrible thing about the internet and like podcasts. Yeah. I was like, she could make a she could have a Substack or a podcast,
yeah,
and have followers that believe this shit.
Oh, I do it all the time. The amount of misinformation I spread regularly because I heard a thing,
yeah,
and repeated it, and I'm a moron.
It'd be funny if you go to the Gathering of the Juggalos, it starts raining, you're like, Grandma says we have to stop. Yeah, guys,
Grandma Marie wouldn't want this. Yeah, stop.
Mama said.
I got Mr. Feeney from Boy Meets World. His granddaughter made a whole TikTok telling me I needed to apologize for spreading misinformation about him.
Oh, no, what'd you say? What'd you say about Mr. Feeney?
I apparently was wrong.
Okay.
However, and I'm just repeating a story that was told to me, which was I was at a horror con, but they also have nostalgia people. So though I think that at that one specifically, they had Mr. Feeney and Mr. Belding next to each other so you could get them both.
Yeah.
And I want to say they might have even had Mr. Belding's office set up so you could be in his office with him.
Got it.
And Mr. Feeney had a book, and my wife's friend, there was another couple there with us. They went and got his autograph, and what they told me was that he had a handler who was a young woman who they thought was his granddaughter. And in the middle of him signing the autograph, he said, "I want to go home," and she said, "Just a few more hours." And they said they regretted getting it.
Yeah.
Because they felt bad. And I told that story on a show. And she went, "He loves doing the conventions. You're a piece of shit. You're going to cost him business now. And how could you say that about him? This is the only time he gets to connect with his fans." I don't know yet.
Yeah, there could be a day or two. He's so old that he's like, oh,
he might have a bad day.
I want to hang out with my fans and stuff like that. And then others where he's like, why am I doing this? Who are you? They just get to that age.
Why would anyone want to do that, though?
What?
Just go sit at a table.
You make so much money.
You make the money. That's why you want to do it. Yeah. You do it for the money.
I mean, I think sometimes I've heard a couple. I think Kurt Russell just said on a thing that he said he would never do one. And then his son convinced him to do one. And he's like, I'm going to do them all the time. They're great. Because people come up to you with this is me and my dad's last thing we did was watch one of your movies, and favorite memory. Or I connected with my wife and I went to whatever movie on our first date, and it's very special to us.
And now every time we fuck, we think of you.
Yeah. Now 9 out of 10 of them are me's.
Yeah.
Who are just gonna fucking stare at you and tell you them your life story.
Yeah.
And creep you out. But I think you get a couple good ones, too.
I was at Comic-Con last year, I believe, and they had Starship Troopers there, so they had Casper Van Dien, and he was next to Denise Richards. And Casper Van Dien had no one in his line, and Denise Richards, of course, was just fucking so long, full, mid-40s, early 50s dudes, just, and I was just, oh, this poor woman knows. These dudes all jacked out there.
I went to the Chocolate Expo in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and they had the guy that played Mikey TV in Willy Wonka at a booth. But no, it was the only person there, but he was charging whatever. Not a single, I was there for 4 hours. Not a single person went up.
Oh,
it was so sad. Also, he's an adult now. He was a kid at the time. He's Mikey TV, allegedly. He doesn't look anything he did as a child.
It's an imposter.
I could just say I'm Charlie Bucket, and who gives it?
At one of the Chiller theaters, I think they had almost all the Wonka kids.
Yeah,
and that to me is if you get a group, that's the cool one. If you get
the Sandlot, them all getting back together and stuff.
Yeah, and they'll do scheduled photos where you get a picture with all seven of them or whatever.
Yeah.
That to me is really fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to go to one with that has, because typically it's Skeet Ulrich and Matthew Lillard for Scream. I've been trying to go to one of those conventions for a while, and occasionally Neve Campbell will pop in. That's a cool deal.
What I love about Matthew Lillard, who I'm a big fan of, and I think he's a cool dude.
Yeah.
He doesn't, he has a rule that if he has a line, kids don't wait. Kids go to the front of the line.
Yeah. And because of Shaggy and stuff
like that. Yeah. And he gives them so much time. He gets down on one knee. He asks them questions. He rules.
Yeah.
He's been very nice. I saw Paul Rubens be very, very nice.
Okay.
He had like a crazy line. It was a little.
It's so wild how he got canceled and just never fully recovered. Like, cause it never, he was just jerking off, guys.
Well, he got twice.
It was twice?
So he got caught whacking it.
Yeah.
At a porno theater where you're supposed to do that. But.
You know the Renan bit?
Yeah.
He goes, we should go back in time and give him a medal.
A, that's where you do that. B, really, it was because he was a sexually ambiguous person who had a kid show. And I think that he always had a asexual connotation, or maybe he's gay and we don't talk about it. And that's the real
reason he was taken down.
That's the reason. But he got again later in life for having what they said was child pornography.
Okay.
However, now, devil's advocate, what it was he was friends with, God damn it, what's his name? The principal from Ferris Bueller.
Oh, yeah, that creep. Yeah,
and he legitimately was a bad boy.
Yeah.
He was doing some rough stuff. And because they were friends, they could raid anyone in his circle that he had traded art with. And Paul Rubens was like a crazy memorabilia collector. He loved kitsch. And he would buy entire warehouses of old magazines. And most of them he never even got to. And he liked muscle magazines from the 20s and 30s. And it would be like men posing. But he had like, you know, he had like a warehouse of magazines.
Yeah.
And they went through every one and found like two magazines that had guys under 18. They were from like the 30s.
Got it.
Yeah, so you could argue he didn't know.
There is an argument that he never even opened the fucking thing.
Yeah.
But again, hot story.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to take down another celebrity for being a pedophile. And then that was I feel like that broke his heart. And he never got
caught. Was that after his doc? Was that after Blow? Because that's like the last film I remember seeing him in.
Mystery Men.
But didn't he do the Pee-wee's on Netflix?
He did Pee-wee on that. That was after.
Yeah, that was after, right?
Yeah, because he redid the Roxy show.
Oh, okay.
On Broadway, and it was awesome. He did it in L.A. and in New York.
Nice.
And that was really good. Did you ever watch? That was...
No, I never saw. I didn't see anything after. And I think Blow came out in 2001. So that might have been after Mystery Men. And I think that was the last thing I remember seeing him in. Like, you know, the only time I wasn't the biggest fan of Pee-wee. The movie freaked me out when I was a kid, but I remember him in Batman Returns. It's like one of the most memorable opening scenes ever because it's so fucking dark. And you just see Pee-wee Herman throw his kid into a river. And you're like, all right.
Wasn't he in Gotham?
He was in the Oswald Cobblepot.
No, I know he was, but I believe he also had a cameo in Gotham.
In the show?
Yeah.
I stopped watching after like season two. I was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
So real quick, because you're a movie guy.
Yeah.
The script for Pee-wee's Big Adventure is used in a lot of screenwriting classes because when him and Phil Hartman wrote it, they had never written a script before. So they bought a book on how to write a script.
Yeah.
And they literally wrote a 90-page script that's 330-page acts.
That's hilarious.
And it is presented that way. And if you read the script for it, it is the perfect example of the how to tell a story.
That's interesting.
In a screenplay.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
So I had, when I was a kid, the Pee-wee's HBO special.
Okay.
Which was before the kids show, when it was for grown-ups. So, and I did not know it was for grown-ups when I was a kid. And I knew that motherfucker by heart.
I don't know if I ever saw this.
It's great. Phil Hartman is in it. It's the same Miss Yvonne.
He was collaborating with Tim Burton at that point, right?
No, this is way before.
Okay.
So he was in The Groundlings, and he had a bunch of characters.
Yeah.
he would go on the Gong Show. He was Pee Wee on like one of those mystery date kind of shows. Yeah. What, you know, Bachelor Number One. He was Pee Wee on one of those. So Pee Wee was his character that took off, and it was a fake kids show. It was the same Jombie everything, and but he's also got a friend named Hammy. And when Hammy's sister comes over, they put mirrors on their shoes. And they're trying to put their shoes under her dress.
That's terrible.
and she looks and she goes, I'm not wearing underwear. They both go, ew. But it's fucking, it's really, really funny. And then they redid it and they softened it. They took that out and they made it a little more kid friendly.
They should do the opposite with Miss Rachel. Just have her make an adult show next.
Oh, I think I would like that.
R.I.P. Phil Hartman, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm glad he died.
Oh, no. Oh,
don't be a jerk about Phil Hartman. One of the angels, baby. Yeah.
Because Phil Hartman died, who ascended in comedy because of that?
Daryl Hammond.
Okay.
Impressionist.
Mm.
Yeah. Right? I would say anybody who's like that kind of...
Matt Friend.
Yeah, anybody who's like that kind of... I mean, he was so good. News Radio was such a fucking underrated show.
Yeah, I used to watch it with my grandmother all the time. That's how I knew who Joe Rogan was before Fear Factor and all that stuff, yeah.
What Andy a fucking... Dick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave Foley.
Dave Foley, Robin Turney, right?
Uh-huh, and Stephen Root.
Oh, that's right. He was... Man, I've been watching Stephen Root for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to watch that and like Evening Shade and shit like that, like Design of Women, Murphy Brown.
Yeah, yeah, well, highly recommend Pee Wee at the Roxy. The new one on Broadway is great. The old one is really fun. Yes, it is on, I believe it's on Max.
That's awesome. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. All right. Moving on. Let's watch one more attack. Ah, we got two. I mean... You ever watch a clip and you just hear Empire State of Mind? Because you're like, this is the most New York shit that could happen.
Mm, yeah.
90-year-old woman attacked by stranger in Brighton Beach.
Yeah, Brighton Beach is rough.
Dude, this is, I mean, concrete jungles.
Brighton Beach is really rough.
Dude, you got to see that this is crazy. When you talk about unprovoked.
You can see the woman crossing the street at Brighton Beach Avenue.
Moving good for 90.
Just as she makes
a
man right there in blue while he grabs a carriage and hits her with it. He then runs off.
By the way, these people are not in a rush to help her.
This happened on Monday. Police say the woman.
Well, I mean, when you have a little side bag, Zach, you know.
Wow.
That's terrible.
Oh, whoa, my God.
Is that a bassinet? Yeah, that's by the train station, too. Yeah, that's rough. A rough spot.
Was he wearing a Wawa shirt?
Go back.
I think he was.
He's from Jersey.
I was going to say Philly. I think that could be a Wawa logo.
I can't tell. So you think that's just an impulsive thought or an intrusive thought? You're like, what if I just fucking crack this old lady?
Possibly.
It wasn't like she was in his way.
Yeah, I mean, some people are just not well. Right now,
I think they had history.
You know, and that's.
You think they had beef?
I think so. It was on site.
Maybe she was his old teacher or something. Yeah, that's definitely possible. Like, he's like, you have the power now, Mrs. Johnson, but when I'm able to use these arms,
yeah, make me sit in the corner.
You never know, man. I always like you ever think about like somebody coming back from your past, like. For so long you don't even remember the slight or whatever yet.
Don't like him, but you remember you don't like him, but you don't remember why.
Yeah.
I can see there's a few people that owe me a good fucking carriage in the side of the head.
Yeah.
You know what I said? I saw a TikTok the other day that made me laugh. It was a girl going, did you grow up with ADHD? And every once in a while your teacher would hand you an envelope to go give to another teacher across the school. That envelope had nothing in it.
It was just a distraction.
It was to get you out of the fucking room for 5 minutes reset you so that you would come back calm because you had a little adventure. And that teacher, a lot of teachers have an understanding that if a kid who's like kind of a lot comes in with an envelope. You go, thank you very much. And sometimes you give them an envelope to give back so that they have a task that resets them.
That's
and
it was really...
a girl going, every one of my teachers did that to me.
That's
I must
funny.
Have been such a pain in the ass.
Man. That's very funny.
But that's good, though, without making the student feel like, you know, singled out.
Yeah,
like,
you didn't yell at them. Yeah. You didn't say, hey, fucking stop, which is what we would have done.
That's what they do now. I mean,
our teachers would have I remember he would slam the desk if you weren't paying attention, or he would throw an eraser at your head.
Yeah, I had a teacher or two that threw the eraser thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, where's the fucking... Yeah, fuck you, Mr. Roberts. Senior Roberts, actually, is our Spanish teacher. Yeah, he threw an eraser at me one time, and I was like, I'm going to get you.
Mr. Geely would come up if you weren't paying attention, and he would slam his hand on your desk and scare the shit out of you. Yeah. He also read the paper most of class.
I like the idea of them just giving they're having the student do drug deals. Just like you can bring the coke, he'll bring you back the money.
By the way, there were teachers that we definitely. You ever notice that like there's one teacher that wherever the day they start, everyone's like, we own this motherfucker.
Oh yeah, yeah. Especially new teachers, very easy.
I've told her our computer teacher was just a dope. And we all knew how to use the computer already.
Yeah.
So it was literally like, you know, how to print a Word document.
Mm.
And this guy was a fucking moron. Like, he couldn't. My friend Sergio used to ask him to play chess every day. And he'd go, fine, but you're not going to flip the board, right? And Sergio would go, no. And then he'd be halfway into the game, board. And he would go, fuck!
I feel like I never had any permanent teachers, but a lot of substitute teachers.
Yeah.
Who would fuck with substitute teachers?
Yeah, this guy had substitute teacher energy, but he was our teacher. Like, he looked like John Arbuckle from Garfield.
Okay.
So everyone would just print out pictures of John Arbuckle.
Oh, no.
That's the teacher that, Chad, that's the teacher that got shot with the wrist rocket.
What's a wrist rocket?
A wrist rocket is a slingshot that you clamp onto your wrist so that it's super powerful.
Okay.
And my friend Justin Capone shot him in the back with a nickel. And it had a hurt so fucking bad. He no-sold it. But we said, because he missed the first time and it went through the projector screen.
Oh, shit.
It put a hole in it. And then he shot him in the back with a nickel and he just went, huh. And we're like, he must have fucking went home with a bruise and a fucking half.
That
kid was a sociopath.
Yeah.
That was my friend Justin, who was one of
is he okay now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he lives.
Some of those kind of people that don't make it.
I think he's got a lot of guns.
Okay.
he was my so me and my friends when we were kids got arrested for stealing a golf cart from the school. And they decided to make an example of us. So they charged us with grand theft and burglary.
Oh, shit.
It was 13 of us overall.
How old were you?
Ninth grade, 10th grade. Maybe, I think this sounds like 10th or 11th grade to me.
It's like, that was when I was really wild.
And a couple of us took it. They took it to the woods across the street from the school. We're doing like jackass tricks. And then kids stole it from them and drove it to like another area, and they were fucking with it, and then everyone got arrested. Two of the kids were brothers, and they flipped on everybody. But Justin was such a career criminal at that point that he already had a lawyer.
a 12-year-old going, you gotta talk to my lawyer.
And so when we went to court, the principal, who was a real fucking scumbag, he later got fired because he was on leave for elbow surgery, and they got video of him playing tennis. he came in, and he said he was on the phone with the Board of Education discussing our punishment with the judge. And the lawyer stood up and went, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. The Board of Education meets at night. And he got caught lying. So we wound up getting community service.
Oh, wow.
And but I got suspended for a month. I had to go to a special program.
Damn.
And it was just me and my two friends and two kids who had brought a BB gun to school. And it was just the five of us. And like,
they just got suspended?
Yeah.
For the BB gun? Damn.
No, no, they were gone for like a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They were in that program for like a year.
Got it. Yeah.
I do remember because they put the three of us in that, and the other 10 kids had an in-school suspension where they had to go sit in a room by themselves all day.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, they tried to charge us with burglary and grand theft. And I think they said it was, they tried to claim it was worth more than $5,000. And Justin's lawyer got it taken down to trespassing and theft of a conveyance, which is like if you run out of a cab without paying.
All right. Well, good for Justin's lawyer.
So that's, you why got... you needed, that's why you needed a lawyer.
Yeah, shout out Justin's lawyer.
That's great.
All right. Next thing. Now, Shannon, I don't know if this guy's Indian because I watch this. I do recall hearing an Allahu Akbar, but hey, naked man attacks motorist.
Shannon, can you play the video with Smell-O-Vision?
Orang Allahu Akbar.
There we go.
Damn.
Itu pingsan itu.
What the fuck?
Allahu Akbar. Hey.
But how long would this guy have lasted in Times
That's
Square?
What I'm saying. Like, if he were doing that in Times Square, he would get shot.
I would hope so.
What the fuck?
Yeah, if he's doing all that, they're gonna shoot him. All these guys can't take this dude?
I think they don't want to touch a naked guy.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Those were nuts, yes.
And a penis.
Yeah. I guess mental breakdown?
No, I think he was fine. That's that's crazy.
I don't. Yeah, that sounded. I heard. I don't know if that's India, but I think that's probably.
But I don't.
It was in Jakarta.
The guy filming. Okay. The guy filming was the one that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was in Jakarta. Thank you.
I mean, but like, you know, that guy was pretty ripped, so he was probably like mentally. He's like, I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. You know, just whacking people in the head.
And had he got shot in Times Square, there'd be people arguing right now they could have subdued him.
I mean, yeah, not everyone's fucking John Wick. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
the taser would have worked on him. He was...
Yeah, yeah.
They would have hit a muscle.
Depends on how much cocaine he had.
He That's very true. Up. Have you ever seen videos where people rip the taser out?
No.
No, but I've seen people take a lot of tasers, though.
Yeah.
And still keep it going, which are like, all right. Don't you shit yourself when you get tased?
I think you can. I think it's possible.
Okay. Let's say you're a shitter with a like when you get tased, but you can still power through.
I think if you got one in the chamber, or if you got a piss, I'm sure you piss.
Got it.
Yeah, like I'm sure if you're cooking, like, yeah, you probably get some involuntary spasms and fucking shoot a log out.
Drop and slop when you get tased.
All right, we're going to keep it moving. And I remember you got a heart out. Don't worry, brother.
No worries. No worries.
All right. I want to know this story because I don't know anything about it, Shannon. NY Bigfoot sighting of Syracuse figure may have gross explanation.
Okay, so I'm gonna show you the picture.
Shannon's already laughing, so I know it's going to be disgusting.
No. Hold on. Okay, so this is the picture.
It's going to be covered in shit, isn't it?
Oh, no.
It's going to be covered in fucking...
Go ahead, Shannon.
...elephant dung or something.
Does anybody want to, like, take guesses?
Now I kind of want to say it's a man covered in poop.
Yeah. But that's what we know it's going to be, man. Or a porta potty fell on him or something.
Is that the guy that was looking for his Mountain Dew in the porta potty? That was a story we did a few weeks ago. There was a guy.
And he fell in?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was in there. His head was popping out.
Oh, hell.
And the cops had to use the jaws of life to cut him out because he wouldn't come out. And they're like, what were you doing in there? He goes, I dropped my Mountain Dew. But he was in there for hours.
Oh.
He was definitely trying to get shit on.
Oh, God.
And then he got stuck.
I've met the original Bigfoot. The guy that created Bigfoot and was the original costume and took the original pictures and says it's him. And it is. I don't know if he's still, he was old at the time, but he used to go to the Magic Club that I was in.
Oh, and Mount Sinai.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look at that.
They let you around that? They just like around kids, like, hey, kids, you know, I'm an original Bigfoot.
And you know what they say about big feet, kids.
Didn't Mount Sinai have a mental ward?
Yeah, he just walked over.
He's like, ooh, magic.
I am blessed to be friends with Violet J from Insane Clown Posse, and he is obsessed with Bigfoot.
Oh, shit.
And we'll stay at his house sometimes, and we call it the seminar, where he'll walk in and be like, yo, I got to show you guys some Bigfoot shit. And it's just, he sits there and gives you like a dissertation. Like, he's got audio files.
But what's the weird thing about people that believe in it is this guy, I forget his name, he invented it, and he goes, yes, I made it up, mm-hmm. And then people still believe.
I believe whatever the footage is called, it's called named after him, right?
I don't remember.
The last time we were with Violet J, he was like, think people don't realize Bigfoot's is mad curious. they want to know what's going on. Like, they throw shit.
He's a little gay.
They want to see you. They want to see you come out. They're checking you out. And then what people don't realize, that footage of Bigfoot, they got HD of that now. Yo, that Bigfoot's got titties. That's a female. That's a female looking for her kid. And dude, he's fucking.
He's 100% genuine.
Dude, hours. It's the best.
Does he believe other crazy stuff?
That's his big one. He loves Bigfoot.
Loch Ness Monster?
He hasn't gone on that one.
Okay.
But he is. I mean, he's got he's got sources. He brings shit up. He's got audio. He goes, yo, I got this audio of Bigfoot. Yo, this motherfucker belches. And I was like, what? He goes, he burps and shit. So, Shannon, tell us about this.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to this original picture. So what it seems like it's a shitty resolution, and they zoomed in on this shitty resolution. When you see it zoomed out a little bit, it really just seems like it's a naked old man.
Oh, good. I assumed it was a naked man shitting in a lake.
Yeah, it looks like it's just like he's like entering the lake. The lake is like very elderly man.
Well, you know what?
Does he have big feet?
That's the question. That's certainly the question. All right, and we will probably end on this one. We'll just set it up like this. A daughter goes to visit her dad she hasn't seen in a while. And it's not morbid. There's no, like, violence or anything.
What? That'd be wild to end on.
This is just a lady decides she's going to go visit her dad. Shannon?
You want me just to play the video, or do you want me to tell you a little bit about it?
You can set it up.
Okay, so this woman's dad had Parkinson's disease. He had been suffering for a while. He's 75 years old. He had recently hired a nurse to take care of him. And then over the past, like, few weeks or so, she had heard from him less and less, and after she couldn't reach out to him for Father's Day, she drove. She lives in Maryland. He lives in South Carolina. So she drove there. When she got there, she noticed the door. It was a different door. There was a Ring doorbell on the door that hadn't been there before. And then she tried to climb through the window. And there, then the nurse who was inside talked to her through the Ring doorbell and was like, hey, just letting you know, your dad's dead, and I have to tell you a bunch of other stuff, too. And then this is the video that she has.
Everything is gone! Who the f*** are these people?
Imagine walking into your father's home and realizing a whole new family has moved inside.
Who are these children?
That's the scene Nora Roland says she found back in June 2024 after she drove from Maryland to Conway to check on her 75-year-old father, Robert. She hadn't heard from him in months, something she says was highly unusual.
My dad was always like, you know, daddy's girl type thing. So it was always me and him, like, throughout my whole life. And, you know, we would FaceTime like every week.
When she pulled into his driveway, she noticed the front door was different and a Ring doorbell camera she'd never seen. She pressed it, and Sarah Smalls, the nurse looking after her father, answered. On the other side of that camera, Roland heard news no daughter ever wants to hear.
Your dad's black now.
She tells me, like, you know, this isn't the way I wanted to tell you, but your dad died, and there's a bunch of other stuff I have to tell you, too. Just wait there.
It turns out her father had been dead for 3 days. Roland says she didn't wait and used a window they kept unlocked for emergencies to get inside.
Oh, my God. I go in there and I see everything is different. Like, she had put up like all of these random photographs of people who I had never seen before. The walls were painted this like god awful like highlighter orange.
Still recording, Roland says Smalls returned to the house shortly after, but instead of getting answers, her phone captured this confrontation.
Where's all of my father's things?
You broke in my freaking house.
This is my house.
That's not your
this
house.
Is my house.
No, baby, yes, I wasn't part of everything. You, I got a deed, dog.
Roland says when Conway police arrived, officers saw the deed showing the house in Smalls' name and treated her and her partner as the ones trespassing inside a home that still held her family memories.
I'm like walking out of the house, like expecting them to come and like, you know, help. And they put me and my partner in handcuffs immediately. I just kept saying, like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know. Like, this is my dad's house.
Police body camera footage shows a neighbor telling officers he'd been worried for weeks about what he was seeing next door.
He was allegedly coming here and taking care of him during the day or whatever.
I got you.
And one day, she just started moving furniture out, this and that, and he disappeared. She was only in there for a very short time. Bob was not within his wits at all.
I got you.
And you could have talked him into just about anything.
Documents show just how quickly things changed for Roland's dad, she says, all without her knowledge. In March 2024, Smalls began caring for him through Griswold Home Care. By the end of that month, he was moved into a senior living facility. In April, papers named Smalls his power of attorney. On April 17th, a quitclaim deed transferred his Conway home to her for $5. Bank statements also show money transfers from Robert's account to Smalls's even after he died. We went to Smalls' home to ask about the deed and the power of attorney.
Hi, Ms. Smalls.
How can I help you, honey?
I'm Michaela Evans with WMBF News. I have a question about Mr. Roland, your former patient.
You can talk to my dog in there.
Why did you take ownership of his house without telling his only daughter?
After that brief exchange, Smalls called police on our crew, and officers told us she did not want us on her property. Horry County's Register of Deeds says his office doesn't investigate people's motives, only whether a deed meets South Carolina's basic legal requirements. Roland says she finally got the criminal charges dismissed, but she's still fighting to challenge the deed that gave her father's house to his nurse. She worries her father, classified as a vulnerable adult with Parkinson's and a brain injury, never understood what he was signing away.
And it's so easy for them to get taken advantage of because he was a nice man. He would never think that someone could.
Pause. We haven't spoken in minutes because we are fucking.
I can't believe
what a clear
this,
case.
That's so crazy.
So there's a movie with Rosamund Pike called I Care a Lot or something like that. And it's about how older folks get exploited by home care assistants, people in like assisted living facilities, because especially if their loved ones are far away. And so that's the one thing like immediately I call BS on is like, we talk every week, but I hadn't talked to him in months. I was like, you would go down and check on him after like 1 month of like not
hearing from him. It's also a bad daughter too. Like, it's not fully her fault, but that's crazy for this to happen.
Yeah, I think the few months is questionable.
Yeah.
But I think this lady moved in and went cha-ching.
Yeah, that's so
nuts. Yeah, especially once you realize, because they probably didn't talk every day. Like, that's the thing.
Once she realized
he had nobody around. She maybe answered the call, like, when he would reach out to her or vice versa. Like, she's like, oh, yeah, like, it's easy, apparently, in South Carolina to do this paperwork. All you need is a lawyer to bullshit some stuff for you and get them to sign over it. You need a notary. That's it.
My grandma was living in an assisted living before she died, and her caretaker was this guy named Alex. He was a prince in Ghana, allegedly, but we don't know if we believe anything that he said. And he knocked up one of the other caretakers at the assisted living place and then fled back to Ghana and never paid for the baby. It was pretty awesome.
Pretty cool. He was Ghana. All right, guys, I think that is our show. Thank you so much to Brandon Collins and Danny Graff. And we'll be back this Friday for our bonus episode. Thank you for tuning in. Goodbye.
The fun's begun, no sleeping in. Noon is morning time to him. Pop the bagel, chug it down. Just like your favorite Obie's clown. Grab a coffee and join the crew.